Now, this is interesting, I found. In response to the rumors flying about of concentration camps, the captured media of the day had to reply in some way. And Martin Luther King was put in that hot seat, put in the difficult position of trying to be, of how can you be honest when you know that they are going to twist and seize your words to discredit you. So I imagine that in this Look magazine piece, he was asked, so, Reverend King, are you also among those conspiracy theorists who believe that the U.S. state is planning to put some percentage of the black population in concentration camps? And so his reply, clearly you can tell he had to choose his words very carefully. He said, and this was 6 days before he was killed, by the way. That's suggestive, isn't it? Oh, well, maybe not. You know, they'd been planning to murder him for quite some time. Quote, I see a ghetto perhaps cordoned off into a concentration camp. I haven't said there was a move afoot, just that it is a possibility. The more there are riots, the more repression will take place, and the more we face the danger of a right-wing takeover, and eventually a fascist society. Unquote, and that's from Look magazine, May 28, 1968. Took a lot of guts to say those words, a lot of courage. Well, we didn't need those words to know that man had heart, did we? Continuing, the white press at first ignored this growing fear and then sought to exercise it by claiming that it was based on myth. The Washington Post, for instance, ran a long article in March 1968, which contended that, quote, there is no evidence that a concentration camp system exists or is planned, unquote. A Look magazine article in May of that year stated flatly, a probing into every available official record and a running down of every current rumor yield no evidence either of physical preparations or of plans by the federal government for mass-level incarceration of Americans, unquote. But blacks recalled the forced evacuation of more than 100,000 Japanese Americans to, quote-unquote, relocation camps in 1943, and the confiscation of their property. If it happened once, why couldn't it happen again? To date, the most authoritative study of detention camps in the U.S. is a 60-page booklet written by freelance journalist Charles R. Allen. The booklet was published in 1966 by the Citizens Committee for Constitutional Liberties. Under Title II of the 1950 Internal Security McCarran Act, six detention camps were set up. Construction began in 1952, and was completed in 1954. Title II gives the president power to proclaim an, quote, internal security emergency in the event of any one of the following. One, invasion of the territory of the United States or its possessions. Two, declaration of war by Congress. Or three, insurrection within the United States in aid of a foreign enemy. And my interjection, now that protecting the economy, quote unquote, has been made a matter of national security, aiding the enemy could be defined to include pretty much all dissent, if they so choose. Continuing, in the event of such a proclamation by the president, the attorney general is authorized to apprehend and detain, quote, in such places of detention as may be provided by him, all persons as to whom there is reasonable ground to believe that such person probably will engage in or probably will conspire with others to engage in acts of espionage and sabotage, unquote. That's from the McCarran Act. Now, of 1950, which we learned, you know, and I have the link on the website for this page, though it was amended, you know, they got rid of the stuff about communists being a threat, because we know now that nothing could be further from the truth. They got rid of that part, but otherwise, the McCarran Act stands. It stands. It is there.